This is Audible.
Listening Library presents Good Night Stories for Rebel Girls, 100 Tales of Extraordinary Women, by Elena Favilli and Francesca Cavallo.
Read by Alicia Keys.
Ashley Judd.
Danai Gurira.
Esperanza Spalding.
Janine Garofalo.
Juliana Wilson.
Mojan Marneau.
Philippa Sue.
Samira Wiley.
And Rowan Blanchard.
With an introduction read by the authors. Publisher's note. This audiobook includes a bonus PDF of 2 written exercises, which can be viewed on any smartphone, tablet, Mac, or PC computer.
To the rebel girls of the world, dream bigger, aim higher, fight harder, and when in doubt, remember, you are right. Preface. Read for you by Elena Favilli
and Francesca Cavallo.
There are many reasons why this book will always be special to us. Some are obvious. The record-breaking amount of money we raised through crowdfunding, more than $1 million. Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls is the most funded original book in the history of crowdfunding. The astonishing number of backers from more than 70 countries and the privilege of working with dozens of unbelievably talented female artists from all over the world.
Some reasons, though, are less obvious. The messages of soon-to-be moms and dads who told us that this is the first book they have bought for their daughters. The friend of a friend who said that this campaign gave her the confidence to start working on a project close to her heart that she had kept on hold for a long time because what if I fail? The email from a mom ecstatic to have a book that could help her share her perspective on the world with her 3 sons, not only as a mother, but as a woman. Above all, the deep trust that our backers have put in us.
This amount of trust is not something women get to experience very often. We do not take it for granted. How could we? Most of the extraordinary women featured in this book never experienced this kind of trust. No matter the importance of their discoveries, the audacity of their adventures, the width of their genius, they were constantly belittled, forgotten, in some cases, almost erased from history.
It is important that girls understand the obstacles that lie in front of them. It is just as important that they know these obstacles are not insurmountable, that not only can they find a way to overcome them, but that they can remove those obstacles for those who will come after them, just like these great women did.
Each of the 100 stories in this book proves the world-changing power of a trusting heart.
May these brave pioneers inspire you. May their portraits impress upon our daughters the solid belief that beauty manifests itself in all shapes and colors and at all ages. May each reader know the greatest success is to live a life full of passion, curiosity, and generosity. May we all remember every day that we have the right to be happy and to explore wildly.
Now that you're listening to this audiobook, all we can feel is hope and enthusiasm for the world we're building together. A world where gender will not define how big you can dream, how far you can go. A world where each of us will be able to say with confidence, "I am free." Thank you for being part of this journey.
Ada Lovelace, mathematician. That brain of mine is something more than merely mortal, as time will show. Born December 10th, 1815, died November 27th, 1852, United Kingdom. Once upon a time, there was a girl named Ada who loved machines. She also loved the idea of flying. She studied birds to work out the perfect balance between wing size and body weight. She tested out materials and tried out several designs. She never managed to soar like a bird, but she created a beautiful book full of drawings called Flyology, where she recorded all of her findings. One night, Ada went to a ball. There, she met a grumpy old mathematician named Charles Babbage. Ada was a brilliant mathematician herself, and the two soon became good friends. Charles invited Ada to see a machine he had invented. He called it the Difference Engine. It could automatically add and subtract numbers. No one had ever done that before. Ada was hooked. "What if we built a machine that could make more complicated calculations," she said. Excited, Ada and Charles started working. The machine was huge and it required an enormous steam engine. Ada wanted to go further. "What if this machine could play music and show letters as well as numbers?" She was describing a computer way before modern computers were invented. Ada wrote the first computer program in history.
Alec Weck, supermodel. When beauty shines from within, there can be no denying it. Born April 16, 1977, Sudan. Once upon a time, there was a girl named Alec who would stop by a mango tree to get a snack on her way home from school. In Alec's village, there was no running water nor electricity. She had to walk to a well for drinking water, but she and her family lived a simple and happy life. Then a terrible war broke out, and Alec's life changed forever. As the warning sirens wailed over their village, Alec and her family had to run away from the fighting. It was the rainy season. The river had flooded, the bridges across it were underwater, and Alec could not swim. She was terrified of drowning, but her mom helped her to cross safely to the other side. Along the way, Alec's mom traded packets of salt for food and passports because they didn't have any money. They managed to escape from the war and made their way to London. One day, she was in a park when a talent scout from a famous modeling agency approached her. He wanted to recruit Alec as a model. Alec's mother did not want to hear about it, but the agent persisted, and she finally agreed. Alec looked so different from any other model that she instantly became a sensation. Alec wants every girl on the planet to know, "You are beautiful. It's okay to be quirky. It's fine to be shy. You don't have to go with the crowd."
Alfonsina Strada, cyclist. Nobody can stop my bike. March 16, 1891 to September 13, 1959, Italy. Once there was a girl who could ride a bike so fast that you could barely see her. "Don't go so fast, Alfonsina," her parents would scream. Too late, she had already whizzed past. When she got married, her family hoped that she would finally give up this crazy idea of becoming a cyclist. Instead, on her wedding day, her husband gifted her a brand new racing bike. They moved to Milan and Alfonsina started to train professionally. She was so fast and so strong that a few years later she entered the Giro d'Italia, one of the toughest races in the world. No other woman had ever attempted it before. "She'll never make it," people said, but nobody could stop Alfonsina. The race was long and strenuous, with 21 day-long stages along some of the steepest mountain roads in Europe. Of the 90 cyclists who started out, only 30 made it across the finish line. Alfonsina was one of them. She was greeted as a hero. The next year, she was barred from competing. "Giro d'Italia is a men's race," the officials declared. But that didn't stop her either. She raced all the same, and she set a speed record that stood for 26 years, even though she rode a 44-pound, one-gear bike. She would be happy to know that things have changed a lot since then. Now, women's cycle racing is hugely popular. It's even an Olympic sport.
Alicia Alonso, ballerina. A dancer should learn from all the arts. Born December 21st, 1921, Cuba. Once upon a time, there was a blind girl who became a great ballerina.
Her name was Alicia. Alicia grew up sighted and was already a wonderful ballerina with a great career ahead of her when she fell ill. Her eyesight got worse and worse. She was forced to stay in bed for months without moving. But Alicia had to dance. So she danced in the only way she could. I danced in my mind. Blinded, motionless, flat on my back, I taught myself to dance Giselle. One day, the New York City Ballet's prima ballerina injured herself. They called Alicia to step in. She was already partially blind, but how could she say no? The ballet was Giselle. As soon as she started to dance, the audience fell in love with her. Alicia danced with grace and confidence, even though she could barely see. She trained her partners to be exactly where she needed them at just the right time. Her style was so unique that she was asked to dance with her ballet company all over the world. But her dream was to bring classical ballet to Cuba, her home country. Back from her travels, she started to teach classical ballet to Cuban dancers. She founded the Alicia Alonso Ballet Company, which later became the Ballet Nacional de Cuba.
Amina Gharib Fakim, President and Scientist. Humble plants hide surprising secrets. October 17th, 1959, Mauritius. In an island nation in the Indian Ocean called Mauritius, there lived a girl who wanted to know everything about plants. Her name was Amina. Amina studied biodiversity. She analyzed hundreds of aromatic and medicinal herbs and flowers. She studied their properties and traveled to rural villages to learn from traditional healers how they used plants in their rituals. For Amina, plants were like friends. Her favorite tree was the baobab because it is so useful. It stores water in its trunk, its leaves can cure infections, and its fruit, called monkey apple, contains more proteins than human milk. Amina thought a lot could be learned from plants. Plants like bourgeois, for example. The leaves of bourgeois are different shapes and sizes. Animals won't eat plants they don't recognize. So they tend to leave this plant alone. Quite smart, don't you think? Amina thought of plants as living biological labs, full of vital information for humans and every other species. Every time a forest is cut down, we lose an entire laboratory, a lab that we will never, ever recover. Amina Gharib was elected president of Mauritius, and every day she fights hard for all the inhabitants of her country. People, animals, and, of course, plants.
Amelia Earhart, Aviator. Adventure is worthwhile in itself. July 24th, 1897 to circa July 1937. United States of America. Once upon a time, a girl called Amelia saved enough money to buy a yellow airplane. She called it the Canary. A few years later, she became the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. It was a dangerous flight. Her tiny plane was tossed around by strong winds and icy storms. She kept herself going with a can of tomato juice sucked through a straw. After almost 15 hours, she touched down in a field in Northern Ireland, much to the surprise of the cows. "Have you come far?" the farmer asked her. "All the way from America," she laughed. Amelia loved to fly, and she loved to do things no one had ever done before. Her biggest challenge was to be the first woman to fly around the world. She could only take a small bag, as all the space in the plane had to be used for fuel. Her long flight was going well. She was supposed to land on the tiny Howland Island, but never got there. In her last transmission, Amelia said she was flying through clouds and was running low on fuel. Her plane disappeared somewhere over the Pacific Ocean and was never found. Before leaving, she wrote, I am quite aware of the hazards. I want to do it because I want to do it. Women must try to do the same things that men have tried. If they fail, their failure must be a challenge to others.
Amna al-Haddad, weightlifter. Nobody can tell me what I can and cannot do. Born October 21st, 1989, United Arab Emirates. Once upon a time, there was a journalist named Amna. Amna was not happy. She was overweight and unfit. One day, she said to herself, You can do much more than this. Just do something. Go for a walk. And that's what she did. She enjoyed her walks so much she wanted to do more. She ran long distances. She sprinted. She started to work out at the gym. When she discovered weightlifting, she knew this was the sport for her. Amna's life changed when the International Weightlifting Federation allowed Muslim women to compete in a unitard, an outfit that covers all skin. She started competing in Europe and America and became an icon for Muslim girls across the world. I like being strong, says Amna. Being a girl does not mean you can't be as strong as a boy, or even stronger. She liked weightlifting so much that she started training for the Olympic Games in Rio. She thinks everyone should find a sport they like and practice it. Whatever your age, religion, or ethnicity, sport is good for everyone, she says. It creates peace and it unites nations. No matter what the challenges are, never walk away from your dream. The more you persist, the closer you're going to get to your goals. When things get tough, just get tougher.
Anne Makozinski, inventor. If you are alive, you produce some light. Born October 3rd, 1997, Canada. Once there was a girl who couldn't study when it was dark because her house didn't have electricity. One day, her friend Anne came to visit, and together they talked about the issue. Anne was great at building things, and she was especially passionate about transistors, devices that regulate the flow of electric current. What if I could invent a flashlight that is powered by your body? Anne asked her friend. After all, our bodies give off lots of energy in the form of heat. The girl got very excited. Just think how many people could have electricity if this worked. Anne was just 15 years old, but she already had a lot of experience taking things apart and putting them back together. So she started to work on this mysterious new flashlight. She called it the hollow flashlight because she built it using a hollow aluminum tube. When she presented it to the Google Science Fair, she won first prize. It's the first flashlight that doesn't need batteries, wind, or sun. Just body heat. Today, Anne is considered one of the most promising inventors of our time. Her dream is to make hollow flashlights available for free to everyone in the world who can't afford electricity. I like the idea of using technology to make the world a better place and to keep our environment clean, she always says.
Anna Politkovskaya, journalist. What matters is the information, not what you think about it. Born August 30th, 1958, died October 7th, 2006, Russia. Once upon a time in Russia, many books were forbidden. Some of these were by writers that a little girl called Anna loved. Anna's parents used to smuggle in her favorite books so she could read to her heart's content. Anna grew up and became a journalist. When a part of Russia called Chechnya wanted to break away and become an independent nation, the Russian government sent in troops to stop them. A brutal war broke out. Anna decided that she had to write. She wanted to tell the world what was really happening in Chechnya. The Russian government did not like that at all. Why are you putting your life at risk? Anna's husband once asked her. Risk is part of my profession, she answered. I know that something may happen to me. I just want my articles to make the world better. Many bad things happened, but Anna was brave. Once, she had to run all night long in the Chechen hills to escape from the Russian security services. People on both sides wanted to stop her from telling the truth. Someone even put poison in her tea to try and get rid of her. But despite these dangers, she bravely carried on telling the truth about everything she saw. Anna continued to risk her life until she died, writing the truth in order to make the world a better place.
Artemisia Gentileschi, painter. As long as I live, I will have control over my being. July 8, 1593 to June 14, 1653. Italy. Once there was a girl who was an amazing painter. Her name was Artemisia, and she was beautiful and strong. Her father, Orazio, was also a painter, and trained her in his studio from the time she was little. By the time she was 17 years old, Artemisia had already painted several masterpieces, yet people were skeptical about her. "How can she paint like this?" they whispered to each other. At that time, most women were not even allowed to get close to famous artists' studios. One day, her father asked his friend, the famous painter Agostino Tassi, to teach Artemisia perspective, how to create a three-dimensional space on a flat surface. Agostino wanted his star pupil to also be his lover. "I promise I will marry you," he told her. Artemisia kept saying no. Things became so bad that Artemisia finally told her father what was going on. Artemisia's father believed her, and even though Agostino was a powerful man and a dangerous enemy, Orazio took him to court. During the trial, Agostino denied doing anything wrong. Artemisia faced terrible pressure but stuck to the truth and didn't give in. In the end, Agostino was found guilty. Today, Artemisia is considered one of the greatest painters of all times.
Ashley Fiolick, motocross racer. I don't think about vibrations. I don't think about anything at all. I'm part of the bike now. Born October 22nd, 1990, United States of America. A little girl called Ashley was playing in the kitchen when some pans fell off the table with a massive crash. Ashley didn't even turn around. Her mom and dad decided to get her hearing tested. When the results came back, they found out that their daughter was deaf. They learned sign language and sent Ashley to camp with other deaf kids so she could learn from them and build up her self-confidence. Ashley's father and her grandfather loved motorcycles, so they gave her a peewee motorbike when she was three. The three of them would head to the woods, each of them on their own motorcycle. Ashley loved these outings, and she started dreaming about becoming a motocross racer. Most people told her it was impossible. "Hearing is really important in motocross," they said. "The sound of the engine tells you when to shift gears. You have to be able to hear where the other riders are." But Ashley could feel from the engine's vibration when to change gears. She looked for shadows in the corner of her eye and knew when someone was getting close. In 5 years, she won 4 national titles. She fell many times. Ashley broke her left arm, her right wrist, her right ankle, her collarbone 3 times, and her 2 front teeth. But she always recovered and got back on her bike. Ashley has a pickup truck parked in her driveway. On the back, a bumper sticker reads, "Honk all you want, I'm deaf."
Astrid Lindgren, writer. Mischief isn't something you think up. It just happens. Born November 14, 1907, died January 28, 2002, Sweden. Once there was a girl who lived on a farm with her big family. She would spend entire days roaming free in the fields with her brothers and sisters, but she also helped take care of the farm animals. Not just the small ones like chickens and ducks, even the big ones like cows and horses. Her name was Astrid, and she had quite a rebellious spirit. She was strong, brave, never scared of being alone, and she could do all sorts of things. Clean, cook, fix a bike, walk along rooftops, fight off bullies, make up fantastic stories. Sound familiar? Well, if you've ever read about another little girl who was strong, brave, and fearless called Pippi Longstocking, you won't be surprised to learn that Astrid was the author of that brilliant book. When Pippi Longstocking was published, lots of adults disapproved. "Pippi is too rebellious," they said. "Our children will think being disobedient is okay." Children, on the other hand, absolutely loved it. Pippi didn't just say no without any reason. She showed young readers the importance of being independent while always caring for others. Today, Pippi Longstocking is one of the best-loved books in children's literature. Astrid went on to write and publish many more books, always depicting strong children in charge of their own adventures. So, whenever you're in trouble for something you did, grab a copy of Pippi Longstocking. She will always be there to help you.
Aung San Suu Kyi, politician. Since we live in this world, we have to do our best for this world. Born June 19, 1945, Burma. Once there was a young woman named Suu Kyi. She came from a rich Burmese family who traveled the world. Suu Kyi, her husband, and their two children were living in England when the phone rang. "My mom has fallen ill," she said to her children. "I have to go back home to take care of her." She planned to stay there for a few weeks, but from the moment she landed, she found herself involved in protests against a military dictator. He had taken over the country, and he imprisoned anyone who opposed him. Suu Kyi spoke out against him and quickly got lots of support. The dictator realized that this young woman was a powerful threat. He gave her a tough choice. "You are free to leave the country and never come back, or you can stay a prisoner in your own home." Suu Kyi thought about it. She very much wanted to rejoin her husband and children in England, but she knew her people needed her. "I'll stay," she said. Suu Kyi spent most of the next 21 years as a prisoner in her own home. She met people there, spoke about her beliefs, and spread her message of democracy and peaceful change. She won the Nobel Peace Prize and inspired millions of people in her own country and across the world, all without leaving her house. After being finally released, she was elected leader of her country.
Balkisa Shebo, activist. "I will show them what I can do with my life." Born 1995, Niger. Once there was a girl who wanted to become a doctor. Her name was Balkisa, and she was really good at school. One day, she discovered that her uncle had promised her in marriage to one of her cousins. Balkisa was horrified. "You can't force me to get married. I want to be a doctor." Unfortunately, the country where Balkisa lived allows parents to arrange weddings for their daughters when they are still children. "Just let me stay in school 5 more years," Balkisa begged her parents. Her parents agreed to postpone the marriage, but after 5 years, Balkisa's love of learning had only grown stronger. The night before her wedding, she escaped from her house and ran to the closest police station to ask for help. She decided to challenge her uncle in court. She was terrified that this might turn her whole family against her, but her mother quietly encouraged her to keep fighting. The judge agreed with Balkisa, and when her uncle threatened her, he was forced to leave the country. "The day I won the case and I put my school uniform back on, I felt my life was renewed," she says. Today, Balkisa is at university, studying hard to become a doctor. She also campaigns for other young girls to follow her example and say no to forced marriage. She visits schools and speaks to tribal chiefs about the issue. Study with all your might. It's not easy, but it's your only hope, she says.
Brenda Chapman, director. I drew since I was a little kid, and I wanted to draw in my career. Born November 1st, 1962, United States of America. Once there was a girl who had curly red hair and loved to draw. Her name was Brenda. When she was 15 years old, Brenda called up Walt Disney Studios. I'm really good at drawing, she said. Will you give me a job? They told her to get back in touch when she was older and had some training. That's exactly what she did. She studied character animation at CalArts, and a few years later found herself exactly where she'd always dreamed, working on animated films for Disney in Los Angeles. She soon discovered that she was one of the very few women animators there. That's when I realized why princesses in their films were so helpless. They'd all been created by men, she recalls. She promised herself that she would create a new type of princess, strong, independent, and brave, she thought. What a great name for a film! Princess Merida in Brave is anything but helpless. She's a fantastic archer and gallops around on her horse fighting off bears and having amazing adventures. Brenda based the character on her own little girl, Emma, a strong, free-spirited girl just like her mom. She is my Merida, and I adore her. Brenda won an Oscar and a Golden Globe for her film. She also worked on many other award-winning films like Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid, and The Lion King. Brenda became the first woman to direct an animated feature for a major Hollywood studio with Prince of Egypt.
The Bronte Sisters, writers. I am not an angel, and I will not be one till I die. I will be myself. Charlotte, April 21st, 1816 to March 31st, 1855. Emily, July 30th, 1818 to December 19th, 1848. Anne, January 17th, 1820 to May 28th, 1849. United Kingdom. In a cold, bleak house in northern England, there once lived three sisters. Charlotte, Emily, and Anne were often alone, and they wrote stories and poems to entertain themselves. One day, Charlotte decided to send her poems to a famous English poet to ask what he thought of them. His response was, "I do not like your poems at all. Literature is a man's business." Charlotte kept on writing. One night, she found a notebook lying open on Emily's desk. "Why have you not shown us your poems before?" Charlotte asked. "They are beautiful." Emily was furious at her sister reading her private papers without her permission. But once Emily calmed down, Charlotte proposed, "Why don't we write a book of poetry together?" Emily and Anne agreed. When they finally published the book, it only sold 2 copies. But they still did not give up, and they kept working in secret, discussing their writing at the dinner table. This time, they each worked on a different novel. When the novels came out, they were hugely successful. People at the time couldn't believe that they had been written by 3 country girls, so the sisters had to travel to London to prove that they were indeed the authors. Their books have been translated into many different languages and read by millions of people across the world.
Catherine the Great, Empress. I am one of the people who love the why of things. May 2nd, 1729 to November 17th, 1796. Russia. Once there was a queen who disliked her husband. Her name was Catherine, and her husband, Peter, was the Emperor of Russia. The Russian people found him mean and arrogant. Catherine knew she would do a better job of ruling the country. All she had to do was figure out a way of replacing her husband. 6 months after becoming emperor, Peter went on vacation, leaving Catherine behind. This was her chance. Catherine gave a rousing speech to the royal soldiers to get them on her side. They switched their loyalty from Peter to Catherine, and a priest declared her the new ruler of Russia.
She then ordered a suitably magnificent crown to be made. Almost the first thing she did as empress was to order her husband to be arrested and put in jail. Catherine's magnificent crown took 2 months to create. It was made of gold and silver encrusted with 4,936 diamonds, 75 pearls, and a huge ruby on top. During her reign, Catherine expanded the Russian Empire, winning many wars and uprisings. Lots of people were envious of this powerful woman. They said nasty things about her behind her back when she was alive, and when she died, they said she must have fallen off the toilet. In fact, she died in her bed and was buried in a sumptuous golden tomb in Peter and Paul Cathedral in St. Petersburg.
Cholita Climbers, Mountaineers. Being on the top is wonderful. It's another world. Born circa 1968. Bolivia. Once upon a time, at the foot of a beautiful mountain in Bolivia, there lived a woman called Lidia Huayas. All her life, Lidia and her friends had cooked for mountaineers before they set off from base camps to climb the mountain. She used to watch them put on their helmets, strap on their backpacks, tighten their boots, and fill their water bottles. She saw the excited looks in their eyes. Lidia and the other women did not know what it was like on top of the mountain. Their husbands did, and their sons did. It was their job to act as mountain guides and porters, taking groups of climbers safely up to the peaks and back down again while the women stayed at camp in the valley. One day, Lidia said, "Let's go up and see for ourselves." As the women pulled on their boots and crampons under their colorful skirts, polleras, the men laughed. "You can't wear polleras," they said. "You have to wear proper climbing gear." "Nonsense," Lidia said, strapping on her hard hat. "We can wear what we like. We are the Cholita Climbers." Through snowstorms and high winds, the women climbed peak after peak. "We are strong. We want to climb 8 mountains," they said. As you listen to this, they are probably tramping through the snow, the wind swirling their multicolored skirts, filled with the excitement of seeing the world from yet another peak.
Claudia Ruggerini, Partisan. Stronger than fear is the desire to fight for freedom. Born February 1922, died July 4th, 2016, Italy. Once there was a girl who had to change her name. "Hey, Maressa," her friends would call out. Nobody could know that her real name was Claudia. It was too dangerous. Claudia lived at a time when Italy was ruled by a tyrannical man called Benito Mussolini. During Mussolini's dictatorship, you couldn't read certain books. You couldn't watch certain movies. You couldn't express your opinion, and you couldn't vote. Claudia believed in freedom and decided to fight this man with all her strength. So she joined a group of partisans, partigiani in Italian, to help bring down the dictator. Claudia's group was made up of young university students. They would meet in secret after class to bring out their own newspaper. But how could they spread their message with Mussolini's police everywhere? Claudia was incredibly brave. She cycled around delivering newspapers and messages from one secret location to another for almost 2 years. One day, the regime finally collapsed. The national radio announced that Italy was free from fascism, and people flooded onto the streets to celebrate. Claudia, Maressa, had one last task. With a small group of partisans, she entered the offices of Italy's national newspaper, Il Corriere della Sera, and officially liberated it from censorship after 20 years. Finally, They were free to print the truth, and Claudia's friends could call her by her real name at last.
Cleopatra, Pharaoh. I will not be triumphed over. Born 69 BC, died August 12, 30 BC, Egypt. Once upon a time, in ancient Egypt, a pharaoh died and left his kingdom to his 10-year-old son, Ptolemy XIII, and to his 18-year-old daughter, Cleopatra. The two had such different ideas on how to run the country that soon Cleopatra was kicked out of the palace and a civil war broke out. Julius Caesar, the emperor of Rome, traveled to Egypt to help Cleopatra and Ptolemy find an agreement. If only I could meet Caesar before my brother does, Cleopatra thought. I could convince him that I'm the better pharaoh. But she had been banished from the palace. The guards would have blocked her at the entrance. Cleopatra asked her servants to roll her up inside a carpet and to smuggle her into Caesar's rooms. Impressed by her daring, Caesar restored Cleopatra to the throne. They became a couple and had a son. Cleopatra moved to Rome, but then Caesar was killed, so she went back to Egypt. The new Roman leader, Mark Antony, had heard a lot about this strong Egyptian queen and wanted to meet her. This time, she arrived on a golden barge surrounded by precious jewels and silk. It was love at first sight. Cleopatra and Mark Antony were inseparable. They had three children and loved each other to the end of their lives. When Cleopatra died, the empire ended with her. She was the last pharaoh to rule ancient Egypt.
Coco Chanel, fashion designer. Some people think that luxury is the opposite of poverty. It is not. It's the opposite of vulgarity. August 19, 1883 to January 10, 1971. France. Once upon a time in central France, there was a girl who lived in a convent, surrounded by nuns dressed in black and white. Her name was Gabrielle Chanel. In the convent, girls were taught how to sew, but they didn't have many colors to choose from. They used the same material as nuns did, so all their dolls were dressed in black and white, too. When she grew up, Gabrielle worked as a seamstress by day and a singer by night. The soldiers she sang for at the bar called her Coco, and the nickname would stick with her for the rest of her life. Coco dreamed of having her own shop in Paris. One day, a wealthy friend of hers lent her enough money to make her dream come true. Coco's clothes looked fabulous, even if the cloth was plain. "Where did you buy that?" the chic Parisian ladies would ask her. "I made it myself," she'd say. "Come to my shop, and I can make one for you, too." Business grew quickly, and Coco soon repaid all the money to her friend. Her most successful design was her classic little black dress. She transformed the color that had always been associated with funerals to something perfect for a glamorous evening out. The shape of many of the clothes we wear today was heavily influenced by Coco Chanel, the designer who started life making dolls' clothes from scraps of nuns' skirts.
Cora Coralina, poet and baker. I'm that woman who climbed the mountain of life, removing stones and planting flowers. August 20th, 1889 to April 10th, 1985, Brazil. Once upon a time, in a house on a bridge, there was a little girl named Cora who knew she was a poet. Her family did not think so. They did not want her to read books, and they did not want to send her to high school. They thought her job was to find a good husband and raise a family. When she grew up, Cora fell in love with a man, and they got married. She moved with him to the big city, and they had four children. She worked at all sorts of jobs to make sure her children could go to school. Cora had a busy life, but she never forgot she was a poet. She wrote every single day. When she was 60 years old, she moved back to the house on the bridge. She decided it was time to start her career as a poet. Cora still needed money, so she baked cakes to sell on her doorstep along with her poems. Cora's poems started to be appreciated by other poets and writers. She won prizes and medals, and when she was 75 years old, she published her very first book. Journalists came from all over the country to interview her while she was baking, and when they left, she sat back down at her desk and started to write again, surrounded by the delicious smells of pies, cookies, and cakes.
Coy Mathis, elementary school student. I want to go to school. We play games at recess. Born circa 2007, United States of America. Once upon a time, a boy named Coy was born. Coy loved dresses, the color pink, and shiny shoes. Coy wanted his parents to address him as she and didn't like wearing boys' clothes. His parents let him wear whatever he liked. One night, Coy asked his mom, "When are we going to the doctor to have me fixed into a girl?" The doctor explained, "Usually, boys feel okay with being boys, and girls are fine with being girls. But there are some boys who feel female, and girls who feel male. They're called transgender. And Coy is a transgender girl. She was born in a boy's body, but deep inside, she feels that she's a girl, and she should be allowed to be one." From then on, Coy's mom and dad asked everyone to treat Coy as a girl. But when school started, they had an unexpected problem. "Coy has to either use the boys' bathroom or the bathroom for disabled children," the teacher said. "But I'm not a boy," Coy wailed. "And I'm not disabled. I'm a girl." Coy's parents talked to a judge about the situation. The judge thought about it and decided Coy should be allowed to use whichever bathroom she wants. Coy and her parents threw a big party to celebrate. They ate pink cake, and Coy wore a sparkly pink dress and beautiful pink shoes.
Elizabeth I, Queen. A clear and innocent conscience fears nothing. Born September 7th, 1533, died March 24th, 1603, United Kingdom. Once upon a time, there was a king who wanted to leave his kingdom to a son. When his wife gave birth to a daughter, King Henry VIII was so mad that he left her, sent the child away, and married another woman. He believed that only a man would be able to rule the country after he died, and was delighted when his new wife gave birth to a boy, Edward. Henry's daughter, Elizabeth, grew up a bright and brilliant girl with striking red hair and a fiery temper. Edward was only 9 when his father died, and he became king. A few years later, he also became ill and died, and his sister Mary became queen. Mary thought that Elizabeth was plotting against her, so she locked Elizabeth up in the Tower of London. One day, the tower guards burst into her cell. "The queen is dead," they announced. And then they fell to their knees in front of her. Elizabeth instantly went from being a prisoner in the tower to the country's new queen. Elizabeth's court was home to musicians, poets, painters, and playwrights. The most famous was William Shakespeare, whose plays Elizabeth adored. She wore sumptuous gowns decorated with pearls and lace. She never married. She valued her own independence as highly as that of her country. Her people loved her dearly, and when she died, Londoners took to the streets to mourn the greatest queen they had ever had.
Eufrosina Cruz, activist and politician. When a woman decides to change, everything changes around her. Born January 1st, 1979, Mexico. Once there was a girl who didn't want to make tortillas. When her father told her that women can only make tortillas in children, she burst into tears and promised to show him that it wasn't true. "You can leave this house," but don't expect a single cent from me, he told her. Eufrosina started out by selling chewing gum and fruit on the street to pay for her studies. She got a degree in accounting and came back home with a job as